Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you. Oh, Chris.
Wow, it's been a while.
Man, bummer. I'm just going to keep going. But all we right. are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast. We are starting off on a great foot. And I'm Carly Duke, and I'm here with Chris Roby.
How are you doing, Carly?
Struggling.
Just smoothly I said that?
Struggling, apparently. No, but I am excited about this one. I am coming through on a promise I made a few episodes ago to talk about parenting styles because I watched the show The Parent Test. And I don't know, it was a tip a few episodes ago. I can post the link if you want to go back and listen to it. But this show was really fascinating to me. So I don't know if any of our listeners ended up actually watching it or not, or if they were just like, sounds cool, Carly. Good for you.
Yeah.
But it was, I think it was an ABC show. And it took these 12 parenting styles and put them against each other, gave them all these tests. And so I just like briefly want to talk about like, what are some of the parenting styles? Because I think when I first looked at that, I was like, there are 12 different parenting styles. Who knew?
Yeah.
And that they had names. So let's talk about these quickly. And then I'll give a couple of like, here are some things that coming out of this I learned, or that if you want to go back and watch pieces of it might be helpful. But the first one is disciplined. So this is, I think we all know these disciplined parents. Honestly, this might be where I fall. But the approach is structured. There's an emphasis on consequences for bad behavior.
Right.
Is kind of what defines that one. Traditional, this one, they said traditional, and I think on the show, this was a Jewish family. And so I don't feel like, I don't know, I feel like traditional is a little more vague, but the parents are in charge, kids are expected to obey.
Yeah.
So kind of similar to discipline, but this one came from a very traditional standpoint. Intensive, parents expect their kids to make good grades, excel in sports and activities. So they are very like activity driven, very much. Like there's very little play that happens in this parenting style. It's very much like you're going to put the work in and excel at what we ask you to excel at. Natural is, it's kind of where families enjoy a more relaxed lifestyle. It's mostly outdoors. So they're kind of like, let's go see what nature has to offer.
It's that family that everyone else is jealous of thoroughly.
Exactly. Then child-led is the opposite of traditional. So that's where like the kids set the boundaries. It's very much set in self-sufficiency, but instead of being parent-led, where parents set rules and boundaries, the kids are the ones who decide that.
Okay.
New age is, this one seemed vague to me as well, but it's more of like, they defined it as like, yes, day parents, they put fun above all else. But it also seemed like, at least in the show, like the example that they gave, these were parents that like took a lot of different pieces of different parenting styles. Like there wasn't just like one firm thing, but they were very much like wanting to have fun and really caring about like the experiences that their kids were having. Routine is a little more traditional, and it's very much on like a strict schedule. Like their kids know what to expect every single day because they do the same thing every single day and have a routine. High achievement is like the intensive approach, but it even like kind of pushes kids out of their comfort zone a little more because they want to like reach their full potential. So once again, not a lot of play, very much driven by like what you're accomplishing and what you're able to do. Helicopter parents, which I love that this was a style that they did, but they value supervision over independence for their kids.
Very sheltering.
Yes. Very much like not wanting their kids to experience outside of what they deem is safe and in their house. And so they're kind of always hovering. I think we all kind of have the visual of the helicopter parent. Free range, and that's almost the opposite, where they want their kids to go out and explore, self-supervise, and kind of be alone on their own.
Okay.
It's free range. Strict. Once again, some of these kind of overlap. I don't necessarily see how strict and disciplined are different, but it's rules are kind of their thing. They're very much into rules. And then negotiation is like somewhere in between the child-led and probably traditional or disciplined, where the kids and parents are equal. They discuss their feelings, their needs, so that everyone in the family feels supported.
Gotcha.
And negotiate. I will say from a show perspective, if you want to watch it, I still think it's worth watching. For me, it was fascinating just to see different parents. And sometimes when you see different parents, you go, oh, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, man, I think I do that. And I wonder if that's how my kids view me as well.
Hmm.
Or like, maybe that doesn't come off as I think it does. Or even looking at other parenting styles going like, man, I wish I picked that up. Like, I might add that to my arsenal as a parent because I like that. But I will say the goal of the show was to find the style that created the most emotionally whole kids who are able to have healthy relationships and navigate today's world.
Hmm.
It's kind of those three things. So emotionally whole, healthy relationships, navigate today's world were the three things they looked for. I will say, I don't think it was a super accurate test.
No.
If I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because some parents had one kid, some had five, some parents had toddlers, some parents had teenagers. So you're comparing different life stages too, which is just different.
Well, I would also say too, it reflects the complexity of parenting and that you know, it's sure. There's, you know, nature versus nurture, you know, how many kids, the parents' own baggage from their childhood, life stresses. I mean, just all those different things. I can see all 12 of these. I mean, I'm, as a matter of fact, I was visualizing different parents that I know, mm-hmm. and even ourselves, but also too that we just don't fall in these buckets very cleanly, I don't think. So it's good for to kind of highlight a certain aspect of a parenting style, but the fact that someone would be completely strict or completely negotiation,
right.
That's probably where it kind of falls apart, you know.
No, and you're exactly right. And I think some of the criticism, even what was interesting, is every week they would put up like maybe four families, and then the rest of the families would watch their test and then comment on it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you would get a parent being like, I didn't see negotiation there. You just decided for him. And I think you do get that of like, you might say you're one style, but depending on the situation, you probably adapt how you parent.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably parent, or you should parent, different kids differently. There's not a one size fits all for every family.
What I'll also say too, though, what's helpful for me as I'm reading through this, I'm like, man, I need to lean into something like this a little bit more. So like, you know, a certain aspect of this where maybe I need to be a little bit more strict on certain things, or mm-hmm. Maybe we need to be the kind of parents every now and then to just like say yes. Well, does that be yes day? Who cares? You know? Yeah. Because I think there's a lot of power in some of this stuff here too. I mean, not every one of these, but it's good to see examples of how other parents parent and how there's value in that.
Right. And I think you mentioned this, Chris. One of the things that I came away really getting, and I was like, I knew this, but it was very obvious to see 12 families do this, is a lot of people, maybe even most people, parent out of fear.
Hmm.
So their parenting style is determined by how they were parented, mm-hmm. or experiences that they've had that they don't want their kids to have.
Right. Right.
So even, for example, like some of the stricter, more high-intense families were minority families who said, I have to prepare my kids to face a world and they have to be the best. They mm-hmm. have to excel in order to survive. And that's mm-hmm. why I'm parenting that way. Or families who maybe are more free range, who their parents were helicopter parents, and they said, I'm not going to do that to my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really fascinating to see, and like made me think of like, why am I parenting the way I parent? Is it because I had great parents? Like, is it because I saw what they did and I took that? Or are there certain experiences that I was like, man, I don't want to ever have to do that. Or I don't want my kids to question that. And so I'm going to parent this way instead.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating.
To use the word fear is interesting because, you know, I've always thought of it as like reactionary to me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, if I parent something that's opposite of what my parents did, I never thought that in terms of fear. But I think that's completely accurate. Like I don't, you know, I don't know if it's fear of, you know, my kids having some kind of a trait that I have that I don't like because then I blame that on my parents, or if it's just like, I know that effect that had on me, so I'm really scared that that would happen to them. Any of those kinds of things, I think, is really a fascinating way to look at it. But I would say that being, you know, as parents, as trying to have a healthy view of ourselves and understanding where we're coming from just as people is really something that will help inform some of this too, of just kind of knowing, hey, you know, what about my childhood made me who I am, and you know, what were the good things that I want to pass on, and what are some of the things that we want to change. That's where generation over generation we're able to get better as people in general, is that we try to, you know, eat the meat and spit out the bones, so to speak, with this kind of stuff.
Right. And I will say, just like anecdotally from watching the show, the thing that the other parents praised over and over again, and the families that went the farthest, were the ones whose kids trusted them, who had close family relationships, and also had like some freedom to make some mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But that there was love and they felt like there was communication there. And so I will say what's interesting is the discipline parenting style one. And she was a single mom and had a teenage daughter. And I think what everyone loved is she was disciplined, but there was such trust there. There was such a positive relationship there. And it just like reaffirmed to me, like what we talk about in this podcast, Chris, of relationships and connection matter. Being the type of parent, whatever your style is, where your kids feel like they can come to you for questions, or instead of saying like, man, I'm going to be in so much trouble, I can't let my parents find out, but being the kind of kid who's like, man, I'm in a lot of trouble, I need to go to mom and dad first to figure out what's happening. I feel like that is where you get kids who are emotionally whole, who have healthy relationships, and who are prepared to navigate today's world. For the trend, Chris, I want to talk about college decisions. We've talked about colleges, like college, on the podcast before, but for our teens who are getting ready to go to college, or maybe even for our juniors who are trying to decide, where do I apply, making that decision is coming up. So if you have a teenager in your life, I feel like even, I'm not parenting teens yet, but the ones that ask like, hey, where are you going to school? And when you get those like doe-eyed, I don't know yet. I don't know what I'm doing. I just wanted to give some and talk through some questions that might help them in their decision-making process so that they can find a school that's best suited for them.
Yep.
So I think the first one is, and I'm not going to say kids don't think about this, but I feel like we put so much emphasis on environment. But I honestly think one of the first questions is, what do you want to study? Like, what do you want to do, and find a school that is equipped to help you get there?
Yeah. And that's not necessarily what schools sell themselves on anymore. Like you said, it is the environment, it's traditions, it's maybe your parents went there. Any of those kind of things can factor into it. But at the end of the day, if they aren't the best fit for what you're wanting to do, then that's something you really have to consider. And, you know, is that a trade-off I'm willing to make? Based upon, you know, the quality of that program.
Right. Because the reality is, school, you'll be there for 4 years, maybe more, depending on how long it takes you. But then you have the rest of your life. And so if you spent those 4 years doing something that's not preparing you for what you want to do after, it's kind of a waste of time and money. But I do think a fair question is, how far do you want to be from home? And what kind of city do you want to live in? So like that small town versus big city, do you want to stay in state? Do you want to go far away? Do you want a private university? Do you want to go to a state school? All of those things are questions that can help you and your kids narrow down where they want to go. And then obviously we know this, schools can be expensive, college can be expensive. So ask, what does financial aid look like? I can't remember if I've mentioned this on the podcast, but I went to ACU, which is a private university and not cheap. And before we really figured out financial aid, I remember my parents looking at me and saying, like, if we don't get this scholarship, you're not going there. Like, we're not going to allow. And I, as a teenager, was going, no, I'll take on more loans. I'll take on the debt. And my parents looked at me and said, we are not going to do that to you. We're not going to let you leave school with that much debt. And I know everyone's different. Every kid is different. But have a look at what that looks like. And like, talk to your teenagers before they go about the realities of like, when you graduate, here's what your payment will be. Here's what that's going to look like for the next 30 years of your life if you go this route. And so maybe it's scholarships, maybe it's staying in state or going to a state school. But then also looking at how much does it cost after you leave the dorm? Like if you go to New York, that's a different, that's different from Abilene. cost of living looks a little different there.
And I really can't stress this point enough because I remember as I was looking at colleges, the colleges that were really expensive were really quick to brush past the fact that they were really expensive. That, oh, you can just get loans for that. And I think some schools that probably knew better too, right? And that probably could have done people a lot of favors of saying, make sure that you count the cost on this because those loans come due. It is as sure as anything. And so you also just make sure to, you know, kind of going back to what you want to study versus the school, like if this is a super duper expensive exclusive school and you're going to be a school teacher and aren't going to make the kind of income to support that, you know, that's real. And so no matter where you want to go, I think having this conversation, Carl, I think you know, you mentioning here's what your monthly payment's going to be and really showing hard numbers versus, and the hard part about this is such an emotional decision. And it does, and a lot of times it's not based upon the numbers. And so being able to bring some numbers into an emotional decision really helps. So I think this is really where as a parent or a helper, you could be really helpful.
Now, obviously we care about the mental health of our students. And so look into what kind of student support programs are available, especially if your student needs a little extra help. So that could be counselors, maybe that's tutoring, maybe if they have a learning disability, it's what do they offer that will help them succeed? Are there involved professors and staff? Like, are they going to have be able to have relationships with the people who are teaching their classes? And so look into that because that is important. And I don't think that's a question that gets asked a lot. I will say, though, I mentioned not always to look at atmosphere, but environment is important. So what is a student atmosphere like? Are sports a big deal, especially right now, like with March Madness and everything that's been going on? Like having a school that is fun might be part of the equation. Do most people live on campus? Do they have intramurals? Do I want to rush a fraternity or sorority? Ask those kinds of questions before you get on campus as well.
I think even so far as the facilities that they have, do they have a gym? Is there a library? Do they have decent food? Since it'll be super expensive, making sure that you're actually going to want to use the things that you're paying for. So it's really about value in some senses there too.
Yeah. And then finally, I think asking what kind of support will they have? So do you know, are they staying close to home or do you know someone who lives close by that they could go to if they needed help? Do they have employment rates? Like what are the university's employment rates after graduation? And are they going to like help you take that next step? Or like you said, Chris, a lot of times people go where their parents went or where friends go. And so ask those kinds of questions of like, what will my students' well-being look like? Who will be there to support them, to love them when they're not around family, especially maybe if they haven't ever moved and this is the first time they're leaving home? That's an important question to ask as well. For the tip, Chris, we have been reading a book called Atomic Habits as a Teen Life Staff.
That's a great book.
It really is. And I'll be honest, this is probably not the last time you're going to hear about this book because there's some really good stuff in there. But I recently wrote a blog about how environment can impact habits. And I just kind of wanted to mention this and talk through this with you, but kind of the idea that it's easiest to imitate the crowd and those who are closest to you. It's like when we're doing our habits, and especially for teenagers who probably don't have a choice in their environment. They don't have a choice in where they live. They don't have a choice on probably what school they go to. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of that is modeled based on the adults who are around them and who are kind of providing that environment.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's the idea of peer pressure is kind of almost dismissed because it's been so overused. Like the people that you're around really dictate mm-hmm. what you do. And so, yeah, obviously it's important to think through like what teenagers are, you know, who are their actual peers, but you know, who is it that they're surrounding themselves with as adults and like, what are they a part of?
Yeah.
And if it's not healthy, or if it's leading to bad habits or leading to, you know, low achievement, then it's good to kind of look around. Like I'm working with a group of boys right now at a certain school that as I look at it, they're pretty bad for each other because they have a lot of bad habits that they engage with each other. Let's just say that. And I'm waiting for the day where one of them will look up and say, I'm out. Like I need to be around different people if my life's ever going to get better. And that needs to be something they come to on their own. But I mean, that's a great example of what, you know, what our environments produce.
Right. And I'll say from a adult perspective, the do as I say, not as I do, doesn't work. Mm. Of you need to be the one modeling healthy habits, good habits, whether that's in a school environment and what you want your classroom to look like, whether that's at home, whatever that looks like for you, make sure that you are the one setting the tone. But as you're saying, Chris, peer pressure can go both ways. Mm-hmm. And so it can have a really negative impact. But if your student is like, you know what, I really want to turn my grades around and make better grades, find a group of friends who already makes good grades. Mm-hmm. And like the stats, I talked about it a little bit more on my blog, but the stats of like, they will raise their grades. They'll even raise their IQ, which is mm-hmm. fascinating. Not even like just grades, but the fact that if you're around smarter people, your IQ is also going to improve.
That is fascinating.
And so just having conversations with your students about like, all right, if this habit's taking place, who are you surrounding yourselves with, what with, and what can we do to make sure that you're in an environment that is going to help you succeed in the long run. And with that, that's a wrap on this podcast episode. We hope that you are already subscribed to our podcast, but if you're not, make sure you hit that follow or subscribe button so that you never miss a Teen Life podcast episode. Follow us on social media. Kelly does a great job of posting resources and articles and things that you need to know. She posts clips from our podcast as well. And as you were listening, if you were like, man, this is something that my friend really needs to hear, make sure you text it to them, share it with them, and so that they know that we're out here. And with that, we'll see you next week.